I love this time of the week. It's when we get to talk science with Dr. Carl Krasiniki. He joins us right now. Dr. Carl, a very good morning to you. We've got a question to you from a listener. Time travel. Is time travel scientifically possible? You must have thought about this. Is it possible?
Yes and no. No, in the sense that if it is possible, where are the time travelers from the future wearing their shiny lycra vests with tomorrow's lotto numbers and stock market prices?
Yep.
But yes, by two separate methods. Method one, put out by John Wheeler at the University of Texas at Austin. Now, have you heard of a thing called a neutron star?
No, I've heard of the flux capacitor. See, that's where I'm limited.
Right, fair enough. You've heard of atoms?
Yes.
And so imagine that you squash an atom so much that the electrons on the outside get squashed into the core, which has got the protons. Mm. And basically, the negative electrons combine with the positive protons to give you neutrons. And so all you've got is just these neutrons bloody everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's neutrons. And a neutron star is something 3 or 4 times the mass of our sun, but a diameter of maybe 20 kilometers. It's really squashed. It's not just the atoms are bustling up against each other. The space inside the atoms has vanished, and the electrons have merged with the protons to make neutrons. Okay, get one of these neutron stars. Now, minor engineering problem. We've never even got further than the moon, but minor engineering problem. So grab one of these neutron stars. I'm sure there's one within 100 light years of us, and then reshape it from 20 kilometers in diameter to a cylinder, 20 kilometers long, but 1 kilometer in diameter. Spin the cylinder at around 1,000 revolutions per second. And then if you go into, so the outside's moving at roughly half the speed of light. And then if you go into a tight orbit around it, you'll get taken back in time to when it was first started spinning, according to John Wheeler from the University of Texas at Austin. That's method number one. You cool with that? It's crazy.
I am with you.
Yeah, okay. Method number two. We definitely know that black holes exist. We've never proved that a wormhole exists. And a wormhole is thought to be maybe something that joins one black hole to the next. We don't know. We've got no proof. All we've got is mathematical stuff. For anybody in the audience who's interested in taking this further, read the two papers from 1935. The first one is by Einstein and Rosen. The second one is by Einstein, Rosen, and Poldovsky. Anyway, suppose you've got a wormhole, and it's maybe a meter long, and you've got one end of it in your right hand, one end of it in your left hand, and it's stretchy. And the thing about the wormhole, you go in one end, and you pop out the other end instantly, in zero time. There are a few minor problems, like you have to get squashed down to a couple of billion times smaller than the diameter of an atom. Don't worry about those minor problems. We'll fix that when we get there, right? Okay. So the thing about the wormhole is it's stretchy. Now, you remember how I mentioned on a previous occasion that the faster you go, the more time slows down for you.
That's right.
And if you're traveling at 99.999991% of the speed of light, then 1 second for you is 11 months for everybody else on the planet.
Wow.
Okay, so get one of these wormholes and stretch it. Just leave one end where it is, but get the other end and take it for a drive at very, very close to the speed of light for what you think back here on Earth is 11 months. But really, on the inside, time has only advanced by 1 second.
Okay.
So one end of it thinks that the time is, say, 1 a.m., and the other end thinks that it's 1 a.m. and an hour or a different time. So you go in through one side and you go forward in time, you go through the other side, you go back in time.
I got you. Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay.
But we haven't ever built one. We've never proved that wormholes exist. These are all mathematical constructs. All done by clever people with pencils and paper and computers.
Dr. Carl, William Shatner went into space, or to the edge of space, in the Blue Origin New Shepard last week.
Yeah, good on him.
And we all watched it. Were you jealous? Would you like to be asked to do that? Would you do it?
Yes and no. If I was a single bloke, yes. But both the Russian and the spacecraft – and the American space shuttle have the mathematics such that once every 70 or 100 missions, everybody dies.
But the Blue Origin New Shepard is a relatively new thing.
They haven't got to 100 missions yet.
No. So I'm not asking.
You're dealing with a lot of energy, man. Remember, those spacecraft, every single spacecraft is built by a bunch of contractors who offered the lowest price to build it.
Yes.
Right? Then you've got to have people putting it together. And if you do everything perfectly, it'll probably work. And all you need is one person to make a mistake and things can go horribly bad. So the space shuttle in 144 flights blew up twice, killing everybody on board. And we've had a similar sort of statistics with the Soyuz.
There was something else that happened last week. They were talking about sending more people to the moon in order to explore mining and exploration for mining of minerals on the moon. And when I heard that, I felt very sad. I thought, Jesus, we have to bugger everything we have here on Earth up. Why are we going to the moon to bugger that place up? Are you with me?
Yeah. Certainly we have to become a space-going race because we nearly got wiped out on Halloween in the year 2015 when a rock, 0.6 of a kilometre in diameter, just missed slamming into the Earth by that much, if that much is equal to 1.25 times the distance between the Earth and the moon. And if it had impacted, depending on where it landed, it would have wiped out between 10 and 70% of the human race. Depending on whether it landed in the dead heart of Australia, the Pacific Ocean, where it would be really dangerous would be a super volcano. Oh, my God, you would not want that. And there's about 200 super volcanoes scattered across the place, the surface of the Earth, not just Yellowstone National Park in the USA and Mount Etna in Italy, but also there's one in New Zealand. And if we'd had 3 years' warning, we could have done something about it. We had 3 weeks' warning.
And asteroid that nearly hit us on Halloween, when was it?
2015. It was actually on Halloween itself, on the night of Halloween. It came past at closest approach, and we had only 3 weeks' warning. And it was a big guy, 0.6 of a kilometre.
How close was it?
Well, 1.25 times the distance between the Earth and the Moon. So if it had impacted us, you know, you only need the Earth's moving in its orbit at around 30 kilometres a second. The distance between the Earth and the Moon is 300,000 kilometres. It's 400,000 kilometres, call it 300,000, is close enough. 30, which has got 10 into 300,000, which has got 50. That's 1 followed by 40. That's 10,000 seconds. That's about 3 hours flight time for the Earth. If it had come through 3.5 hours earlier or later, it would have hit us.
So you're saying we do need to look at living on other planets.
Well, becoming a space-going race. And that will involve genetics to modify ourselves so that we can survive in that environment, because space is not just the final frontier, it's also a hostile environment. So if you're looking at the astronauts who come back, of all the astronauts who have been up there for more than 6 months, one-third come back with terrible back pain. After a couple of weeks, they're getting as much osteoporosis in a week mm-hmm. as your grandmother gets in a year.
Because they haven't got weight-bearing exercise?
Yeah, well, even with their hardest weight-bearing exercise, they're still losing bone mass, and they can, with a lot of work, get the bone mass back on Earth, but it's never the same, it's never as beautifully arranged, and they're more likely to fractures for the rest of their life.
Wow.
And a lot of them have problems with their eyes. About 10-15% come back with their eyeballs permanently changed, and they have to wear glasses, whereas before they didn't, or vice versa.
Wow.
So we need to get genetic engineering to modify ourselves to be able to live in space.
Why don't we make that a topic for next week? Because we're out of time. What is the future of the human race as far as space travel is concerned? And how will we get there? It's a topic for another day. What do you say?
I like it, but you should remember I am a bit biased because I've been reading too much science fiction and can't be trusted.
That's okay. If we keep all that in our mind, we can listen to you objectively. Dr. Carl, always great to talk to you. Thank you so
it's
much.
Keen. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much again. Dr. Carl's little book of climate change science is his latest book. God, he's written a few of them, and we'll talk to him again this time next week. Have a great week, Dr. Carl.
Thank you, Dr. Luke.
The Night Shift. Around Australia on the Triple M Network. Luke Boner.
Yeah, what?
The Night Shift.
Yeah, Brett, hello.
Oh, how are you, Lukey?
Good, thanks, Brett. Whereabouts are you in Australia? Where are you right now?
In Melbourne, mate.
Okay, and how come you're up? What do you do?
Oh, truck driver.
Good on you. Don't say it like that. Say it proudly.
I know, truck driver.
What can we talk about?
Oh, I was just ringing for the quickie.
Okay.
Would it be Bruce Springsteen, Dancing in the Dark?
And how did you get to that?
Well, I only just got back in the truck and I heard the clip. Then you said the clue. And I thought he's dancing with Courtney Cox, and that would have been about 32 years ago.
Ah, very good.
So, I don't know.
Courtney Cox, he was too. For them, it's 32 is the clue. Here comes the quickie. It's a song you all know. Has Brett got it? No.
No? Oh, okay.
Sorry, buddy.
No worries.
Okay, have a good day, mate. Keep trucking. G'day, Chris.
How you doing, Lukey?
Go.
Another Brick in the Wall, Pink Floyd.
How did you get that?
Just by the audio, mate. I was brought up on Pink Floyd by my old man, so yes.
Okay. It's not Chris. I'm sorry, mate.
No worries, buddy. Thank you.
You have a good day, buddy.
You too, mate. Yeah.
Bye-bye. The Night Shift. Around Australia on the Triple M Network. Well, the roadmap was exposed by Anastasia Palaszczuk yesterday. Queensland's opening its borders. We could be visiting there at Christmas. Quinton Long from Aussie Travellers next.